Sister, one brother to testify. Sister Lydia from Irvine Church. Brother John from San Diego. Okay, so we invite Sister Lydia.
Before I share my testimony, let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. This is actually my first time testifying, so I never thought that the first time I would testify would be about a car accident. For that fact, I don't think I ever imagined getting into a car accident. So around more than 2 months ago, on Thursday, October 16, 2014, I woke up around 7:50 in the morning, like any other Thursday, thinking that would be a normal day. I went to school, had 3 classes back-to-back, and went back to Monterey Park, which is around 30 minutes from my school, at around 4 or 5, and then I drove back to Irvine to attend the Irvine Campus Fellowship. I was actually really excited for the upcoming weekend. I even told my close spiritual friend that I had a very busy and eventful weekend. I confidently said that I was going to Disneyland on Friday with a few church brethren, along with my cousin who was visiting from New Jersey. And Saturday, I was going to teach my lesson for RE that I hadn't really prepped for. And then after that, I would prep for the wedding that would be held the next day. So I had planned everything out for the weekend, and I thought that it was going to go out exactly the way I had imagined. During this time of my life, I had kept up with my spiritual cultivation, praying and reading the Bible daily, and I thought I was doing okay. I was content, I guess, with the state that I was in, but I didn't have the desire, as we learned in 1 Thessalonians, to abound more and more. So after driving in, I guess, more than an hour of traffic home, I went to attend ICF, and after I attended ICF, I went home and felt that I was kind of tired from such a long day, but I was really hungry. So I was supposed to wake up the next day around 6 a.m. for the Disneyland, but my hunger overcame me, and my mom and I decided to go out to eat. I remember before leaving the house, I asked her what car to drive. I was taking my sister's sedan for school, but I prefer driving my mom's SUV more, and I think she knew that I liked driving her car more. And she said that we should drive, we named her car Dabai, because her car is an SUV, and it's big white, and then my sister's call is Xiaobai. But anyway, so we got to our destination safely, and we ate yummy food, and we were about to go home at around 11 or 12 a.m. So we got in our car, and I'm pretty sure I prayed really quickly, and then I was ready to go home and sleep. The restaurant was only 2 exits away from my house, and so I thought I'd be home in no time. So I got onto the freeway, and I stayed on the slow lane, which is the very right lane. The lane was going smoothly, and I remember my mom talking to me about my sister, and I had just passed the exit right before the one that I was going to go out on, and then I saw the cars in front of me started to press on the brakes. And of course, being me, I had no patience. I thought I was a good driver, and so I decided to switch lanes. I remember looking back to make sure that there were no cars behind me, and so being certain, I switched lanes. And right after I switched lanes, my mom screamed, "Lydia!" And then right when she yelled, there was like a black car, probably like the first or second row. And by the time I saw it, it was too late. And so I tried braking, even though I knew I was going to make it. And I braked, and then right when I crashed into it, I was like, "Hallelujah!" And then, I directly rear-ended the black car. The airbags came out, and there was smoke. And That very second, my mom and I both lost our glasses, so I couldn't see. And I didn't know what to say or, like, what to do. And my mom started to freak out. And she was like, she spoke in Chinese. She was like, 我们早上就走local. 你太累就让我开. And then she was planning on going to Taiwan like the next 1 or 2 weeks. And she was like, 我不能回去了. And then I didn't know what to do. And so I was really scared. And so I hit a car, and it was obviously my fault. And so I don't think I've ever been so scared in my life before. And at that moment when I hit that car, I honestly thought I killed someone or seriously injured them, him or her. And I kept saying hallelujah. I was like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then I didn't know what to do, so I began to pray. And but I didn't really know what to pray for because there were just so many things going on in my mind. And I wish that it was a dream. And I've dreamt about car accidents before. I was really hoping this time I would open my eyes and it would be a car, it would be a dream too. But I woke up and I opened my eyes and it was reality. So after praying, I realized that we were both like holding on to our chest, and I asked if my mom was okay. I could barely see anything though, of course, because I lost my glasses. And when I don't have glasses or contacts on, I'm basically like blind. Especially during the night, everything looks like fireworks to me. So yeah, I couldn't really see anything. But then my mom and I made sure that we didn't have any blood on us. And even though we didn't have any outer injuries, I still became very, very scared. And I sat there and I didn't know what to do. And I couldn't see anything, and I kept like trying to look for my glasses. I didn't think of calling anyone, but suddenly, I think he was a firefighter or EMT. He knocked on our window. It was around like 2 to 3 minutes after the accident, and he asked if we were okay and if we had any serious injuries. And he told us to stay on the car and that he would come back and get us. So he stopped all the traffic for us and came over and asked if I could open the door. And I came out, and I was really thankful that I could still stand and walk. And we tried to get my mom on the passenger side, but her door couldn't open. And I wanted to wait for her to come out, but the EMT man told me that he will escort me first onto the grass where I was safe, and then he would come back for my mom. And so while I was sitting on the grass, I was really, really nervous because I didn't know how my mom was doing. Then with my horrible vision, I saw the firefighter carrying my mom, and they put her down on the grass, and they began to ask us how we were feeling. And a lot of people told my mom and I that we were so lucky because the crash was really bad. And they asked me how I was doing. I said that I felt okay, just some chest pain. But my mom looked really painful. And the man was asking my mom how she felt. But her English isn't as well. So I was translating for her. And she began to talk. And she was stuttering. I became really nervous because I asked her, I thought that, you know, she might have, like, hurt her spine or, like, one of her nerves was hurt, and she would talk like that forever. So I asked her, like, Mama, 你是冷还是你受伤? And she's like, well, 应该是冷吧. And I was, like, really, really scared because I just didn't know what would happen if my mom would talk like that for the rest of her life, and it would be all my fault. And my mom was really painful, and the people wanted to put her on the board to go into the ambulance, but she was scared, not necessarily because of the pain, but she was scared about not having medical insurance because she's usually not here in the United States for most of the year. But then the people comforted and reassured my mom that what's most important is that she is okay and that she is healthy. And my mom agreed to be put on the board. And during this time, of course, I was still really scared about the person I hit and whether okay the person was okay. And I remembered I kept asking, like, there were a lot of people walking around, and I asked if they know if the other person's okay. And they said that they couldn't tell now. And so I could slightly see that they put the person I hit onto a board and onto an ambulance. And then next, they took my mom onto the ambulance. And they weren't going to put me on a board because I felt, at that moment, I felt okay. But then afterwards, he asked me again how I felt, and I couldn't really explain. I was starting to feel more and more painful. And so he also put me on a board and put something around my neck. And then so we went on the ambulance, and we went to the hospital. We were on the way to the hospital. And while we're on the ambulance, the firefighter told me his name was Neil. He was very kind and asked if there was anyone that I wanted to call. And I told him, yes, I want to call my sister, Hannah. And he spoke to her, telling her which hospital we were going to. As I mentioned, he was very kind throughout the ride, and he even answered my silly question. I wondered why. He told us that we were almost there, and then I wondered why the siren didn't go off, or whether the ambulance was so high-tech that people could hear the siren go off outside, but we could hear it inside. But he told me that it's because they're not allowed to use the siren on the freeway. So I learned a lesson. So when we got to the hospital, my sister was already there waiting outside. They pushed my mom off first and told me that they would come back to get me. And then my sister asked if she could come on to the ambulance. And the firefighter, or the EMT man, said yes. And when my sister came in, she asked me what happened. And she held onto my hand, and I let everything go and began to cry. I hadn't dropped one drop of tear before then. But when my sister was by my side, tears couldn't stop streaming down my face. Then afterwards, they came and took me off the ambulance. And while I was going through the hospital on the bed, I never, ever imagined myself lying down, seeing hospital lights at age 20. I've seen patients on TV shows staring at lights, but never thought I'd be in that situation myself. And so they pushed me in a room, and I was left all alone by myself. And the nurse told me that the doctor would be here soon. And as I was waiting for the doctor to come in and check on me, I was really, really scared. I was really afraid that my mom and I would be facing the end of our lives, and that I would be the one who killed my mother and possibly some stranger. I've never seen my mother look so painful in her life. And though outwardly we seemed okay, but I was really scared that we were bleeding internally and would die. And I didn't feel ready to face the end of my life. To be honest, I don't think I ever imagined dying at age 20. I didn't think I was ready to die. And I was so afraid of losing my mother. And as I lay on the bed, I prayed to God and prayed that he wouldn't leave me alone during that time, and that he would guide my mom safely. Of course, as a daughter, I wanted my mom to be healed and to be fine. But I knew that this was out of my control. And so as I lay there praying, and as tears streamed down my face, I remember praying and telling God, "Not according to my will, but yours be done. For I know and believe that whatever happens, you have the best plan for me." Even though I love my mother, in that prayer, I basically told God that if he had to, I would accept it if he took my mom away from me. And I think every day when I pray, I tell God, "May your will be done." And I tell him, I actually say this in Chinese, but I tell him, "I entrust every day onto your hands." And however, every time I say that, I feel like I've never fully entrusted my life to him. And I don't think I never meant it as much as I did that very night. When I told God, not my will, but yours be done, it really reminded me of Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane. I thought about the pain and suffering that Jesus had gone through when he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was going through so much pain and suffering. He was in agony, yet he didn't run away from the pain and suffering, but he was willing to bear whatever God had in hand for him. And this strengthened me and helped me to really trust God more. And I asked him to please not leave me alone, because I really didn't know how to face this by myself. After the x-rays, the sheriff then came in with my sister and began to ask me a few questions. He asked what I thought had happened, and I told him. Then I cut in and asked him if he knew how the person I hit was doing. And he said the other person had been sent to another hospital, so he didn't know. Then he said, I'm going to tell you what I think happened. When he said this, I was super, super afraid. My heart was pounding really quickly, and I was basically ready to hear him say that it was my fault for causing this accident. And to my surprise, he said that he needed me to sign a piece of paper convicting someone of felony. Honestly, I didn't really know what the word felony means, but it sounded quite severe. He told me apparently a few seconds before I hit the black car, it had just got into another car accident involving a drunk driver whose car had flipped onto the side. And after I hit the black car, another car hit me in the back. So there are a total of four cars involved in this accident. And when I heard this, I was so shocked and relieved at the same time. This accident was supposed to be caused by me, and I was supposed to face all the financial and other responsibilities from this accident. Yet the result was beyond my expectation and what I could ever think of. He could have left me to suffer the consequences alone, but by his abundant grace and mercy, he didn't. After signing the paper, I began to worry a lot about my mother again because I had no idea how she was doing. Thank God that the doctor came in and told me that my x-rays looked fine and I could be released. Then I walked slowly to the room where my mom lay, and she looked really, really painful. I remember going over to hold on to her hand and feeling so guilty for causing her all this pain. And after a few moments, the doctor came in, and really thank God that my mom's x-rays came out fine too. Then the sheriff came in and told my sister to tell my mom to not get mad at me because it wasn't my fault. I was physically standing there too, but he decided to tell my sister to tell my mom. But yeah, I felt really relieved and just couldn't thank God enough. And after giving us paperwork, they sent us home around 4 a.m. It was such a blessing to once again be able to enter back into my home. And although my mom and I had the hardest time climbing up the stairs and taking a shower because all of our chest, back, and neck pain at the end of the day, there was just too much to thank God for. And after eating the medications and getting ready to sleep, I knelt down and prayed, crying for the joy and peace and comfort that God had granted me and my family. The Lord truly provided me beyond what I could possibly imagine, and he didn't leave me alone, and I truly believe that he has never left me alone. In my prayer, I really reflected upon how much grace and love God has shown me, and as a daily routine, I wrote all the blessings I had received from him that very day. Going off on a tangent, before attending my first NYTS in 2013, I had pondered upon the purpose in life, not to the point where I was suicidal. And I guess I had questioned whether God was really there, whether he really existed. And from that NYTS, I learned that my purpose in life is to serve the Lord and to love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to never forget his love for me. And I made the determination to write down the blessings of God each day on a post-it note to put onto my wall. And this started in early August 2013. So over these past 1.5 years or so, God has shown me different blessings every day. Okay, this is kind of fail, but that it's supposed to be like a picture of my wall. It's there's this side, and this side is all filled with post-it notes, and it's a reminder for me to remember how much God has loved me and how He really guides me every step of my life. And so on October 16, 2014, I wrote, this is what I wrote on the post-it note that I posted onto my wall. Wow, really, really, really thank God. And this tells you like how much I thank God, because usually I only start with thank God. But yeah, I started with, wow, really, really, really thank God for His abundant grace and blessing that He has bestowed upon our family today. If it were not for His grace, we probably wouldn't be able to come home with minor injuries from the car accident. And without His grace, we would not be able to come home, knowing that it's not my fault for hitting the car in front of me at 65 to 70 miles per hour, but a drunk driver's fault for causing this four-car accident. Thank God that there are no major injuries and everyone seems okay. I really cannot thank God enough for His mercy, compassion, and gracious love to me. And thank God that Hannah was able to find us safely, and thank God for the love and care of many people. Thank God for a blessed day. And I put a smiley face and a heart, and I usually don't do that, so it tells me, as I look back, it just tells me how thankful I really was on that day. So God didn't have to give me comfort and peace. He didn't have to answer my prayers. And He could have left me alone to suffer through all this pain by myself. As I reflected upon this accident through my prayers, there are so many lessons that God has taught me, and I would like to share about four of them. First of all, it reminded me of the verse that Brother Joshua brought up yesterday, Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I had planned for an eventful weekend and thought that things would go exactly the way I had planned. But I didn't fully entrust my life onto God and let Him take complete control. Yes, we may plan our footsteps and think that it will go exactly the way we want. Yet we often forget that our Father in heaven is the one who has control of our lives. So instead of insisting on our own way, we need to seek after His will. The second lesson that I learned is that patience is a virtue. If I had just pressed the brakes and waited in the same lane, I could have braked in time, but I decided to switch lanes. And so my mom and I wouldn't have to go through so much suffering and pain if I had just been patient. And when we don't have patience, we begin to think that we can take things onto our own hands. And we take a wrong lane switch, a wrong turn, and we end up going through so much unnecessary pain if we had just been patient and trusted in God's will and God's timing. Yet although at times we may make the wrong decision and go through so much suffering, God promises us that He will never leave us. He tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8, "The Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Although we may take the wrong path, but God, He will deliver us out of these afflictions as long as we fix our eyes on Him. By the Lord's mercy, He provided me a way out, and I'm sure that He will deliver all of us out of our tribulations if we call on Him and trust in Him. Thirdly, this accident has taught me not to take things for granted. I'm very guilty of taking my family members for granted, for taking my life for granted, and for taking God Himself for granted. But this accident helped me to recognize that if it is not by God's grace, I would not be able to live another day. If it is not by His grace, I would not be able to have my mother by my side. If it was not for His grace, I would not be here today, with no broken bones and no stitches. It also taught me that just because I am young It doesn't mean that I necessarily have another 50 or 60 years ahead of me, and that I shouldn't be lukewarm in my faith. We never know when our time is up, and so we must always renew ourselves each day and strive for transformation to live a life that glorifies God, so that we can be like Paul and confidently know that we will receive the crown of righteousness. Lastly, after the accident, I was so traumatized, especially because 3 days after this major car accident, I got into another minor car accident. I was rear-ended from the back. So I never thought that driving could be so traumatizing. But because I had to drive to school, I still needed to drive. And I remember going driving, and after the accident happened, when I switched lanes and people wouldn't let me, I started to freak out. And I said, Haleah, Haleah, Haleah. And then God would always provide me a way out. I have a habit of listening to prayer encouragements or sermons while driving to school. And I remember after the accident, I felt so weak and fragile. A few days after the accident, while I was driving to school one morning, I felt very weak and still traumatized from the accident. But that morning, while listening to a prayer encouragement on my car, the pastor mentioned that when we are weak, then we are strong, and it really comforted me and moved me into tears. If I can ask us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, just the first part. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so I never really understood and experienced this verse for myself, but during that morning while I was driving to school, I felt like I realized what this verse meant, and I felt like it is only when I recognize how minute and weak I am that God is able to manifest his great power in my life and strengthen me. It is only then, when we are weak, that we understand that we are able to truly rely on him and lay everything before him. And I can't thank God enough for letting me learn this lesson and experience this verse. Kayla, can you actually show the car, picture of the car? So this is what happened to my car. I completely totaled it, but thank God. I think it's so amazing. The next day when we went to see the car, it was just really amazing how my mom and I were physically, we were basically okay and intact. And so I really thank God for all of the love, care, and prayers of brothers and sisters and family members, including the care and concern from my 87-year-old grandma in Taiwan. Last month, I decided to call her, and she asked, she was asking me about this car accident. She was saying in Taiwanese, I really scared her, and she asked me if I was okay, and I was like, oh, botaiji, ganxie san. And I really thank God, because through this accident, I've learned how much grace and love God has really bestowed upon me and my family. And I really thank God for the care of many brothers and sisters and for their prayers. And may he strengthen us, all of us, and to help us always remember that in everything there is his beautiful will, and he will never, ever leave you as long as you reach out to him. May all the honor, glory, and praises be unto his holy name. Amen.
Before we start, let's all bow our heads and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I bear testimony for the Lord. Before I start, I kind of want to apologize because I'm also kind of surprised that I'm giving a testimony right now. And I actually don't have the paper that I wrote, but I have like 5 lines here. But I pray that God will also guide me. For this testimony, I just really wanted to be able to share God's grace with you all and hope it applies to all of us. Because the testimony that I'm going to share is about how I got the job that I got this past quarter, and just how many lessons that I was able to learn from him. And yeah. So before I actually start that part of the testimony, before I came to UCSD, when I was applying for colleges, I actually didn't get into UCSD at first. I got rejected, and I wasn't even waitlisted. I got straight out rejected, and then I ended up appealing to the school, and thank God I eventually got in. That's for another testimony. So when I came to college, I felt like I really didn't deserve to be here because I wasn't smart enough. And so I put a lot of effort into my schoolwork, and I really dedicated myself to just working extremely hard in school. As a result of that, I also put less work into campus fellowship and to serving God. But I really thank God for the members in San Diego who have really been able to influence me and been able to really pray for me so that I could ask God to change my heart. And so as the years went on, I could really feel God's power making me different every step of the way. And so going back to last year when I was looking for an internship, I remember applying for a company called Intuit, which is the company that I'll be working at. And I had an interview on Friday, and I was kind of nervous for it because I had to go on site and I don't have a car. But that's not really the point. But it was on Friday, and that week we were also flyering for our Seashore Campus Fellowship because we have an evangelical night. So we were flying like the whole week on the main walk, and I remember I actually totally forgot that I signed up for a spot during my interview, and I was like, oh no, what do I do? And then I prayed about it a lot, and then I thought a bit about it, and then I didn't really know what to do, so I ended up canceling them in the last minute for the interview, and that's kind of bad because it leaves kind of a bad scar for them. But then, that doesn't make sense. But after that year passed, thank God I got an internship to work at that summer, which was really great. Thank God. And so for this year, I remember researching which companies were in the area of San Diego because I really wanted to stay there. And I remember that there were very few software jobs in comparison to what was offered in Silicon Valley, which is where I live, in NorCal. And I remember being really worried because one of the few ones is the ones that I kind of turned down the interview for last year. And most companies are pretty smart. They usually check through the list, or they kind of blacklist you when you do something wrong, like if you turn down an offer or you reject their interview. But I guess they weren't that. I remember, long story short, I got the job. But in the process of it, I was really, really worried along the way because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know if I was going to get an interview. I remember going to the job fair that year, or that was actually 2 months ago, or 3 months ago. And I remember that I was just like really sick, and I was like coughing in all the job, like career people's faces. I remember handing them my resume and stuff like that. And honestly, all I could do that week was just say, like, yeah, just so many prayers to God. And I remember just asking all the brothers and sisters, everyone I knew, to just keep praying for me. And to this day, I really thank God that I had all these brothers and sisters. And I remember on the day of the interview, the first interview that I had with them, I remember that I didn't double book, but I had two interviews that day, so I was really tired. And I failed my earlier one, Facebook, and that was really hard. And I remember going into like my second one, I was like, oh, God, I thought you were supposed to help me. But I ended up, and I started to think, because I had like about like a three-hour gap where I got to like eat lunch and stuff like that. But I remember during that time, I felt so much peace for some reason. Like, because I knew that even though I had failed my earlier interview, that God is still faithful and that I should still continue to trust in him no matter whatever the circumstances are. So even if I lose this job, I know that God will still provide another one in SD or somewhere else for me. And I won't, even though perhaps I may not expect the same out of it, I know that God will still provide because... he has always provided for me. So my interview is not, I mean, my testimony is not that long. It's just really up to here but I really wanted to share the lessons that I've learned from this experience, and especially just for everyone who's going to be applying for jobs and all these kinds of things. I really want to share some of the most important lessons that I've learned. The most important thing that I've learned is that if you have felt in some way that God has given some grace to you, and if you felt like you trusted in him and then he was able to somehow reveal his grace to you, then you know that he will do it again. I actually wanted to turn to something in 1 Samuel chapter 7. So I don't really have time to read the entire story of it, but just some background. In chapter 4, 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Israelites, they were battling against the Philistines in Ebenezer, and then they ended up losing the battle. They got slaughtered, and the Ark of Covenant got taken. Eli died, his two sons died, and. And then afterwards, Samuel revives the strength, the spirituality of the Israelites by telling them to put away their idols and to submit to God and to prepare their hearts before God. And so later in chapter 7, verse 10, God pretty much just thunders, and the Philistines get so confused and they're defeated by the Israelites. And so afterwards... in verse 12, it says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" I think this is really interesting because in chapter 4, they were defeated at Ebenezer, where they were encamped by. And later on, Samuel names the stone Ebenezer as well. And it's really interesting. The same place that they were defeated, he names it with the same name for the rock. And I think that's really true for our lives right now, because especially for myself, I felt like I really lost, or not really lost, but I feel like I failed a lot of times. Before college, I remember telling God, oh yeah, I'm going to serve you in my campus fellowship. But then, as I said before, I put in a lot of work into my academics, and I didn't really serve God as much as I think I should have. But I think even though we may have fallen many times, I think one of the most important things is to remember that thus far the Lord has helped us. To remember that because God has shown his grace to you before, that he will continue to show it again. And this is something that's been so true in my life. When you feel like you sacrifice something for God, for example, for my example, it was the interview that I had scheduled the previous year. When you sacrifice something for God, he will always be able to reimburse you. And it's always beyond what you imagine. And the same for just working, just as you're working in school, I mean, studying for classes and all that, those kinds of things. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't have enough time to go to my campus fellowship. I don't have enough time to pray and read the Bible. I remember my friends just like studying and working so hard in their programs, and then they would be asking, we'd be asking each other questions and stuff like that, and then I'd always have like this super long pause between like their messages, and I guess they would be kind of frustrated, but then it's because I was at church or I was in my campus fellowship, and I realized that like the time that I have to spend on all these kinds of things is much shorter because God is able to reimburse all these kinds of things. And it really takes a step of faith to be able to let God take care of the rest, because if you just spend all those times that you could have spent doing your own thing or doing your homework, then you can't really let God manifest his glory. Sure, you might get an A-plus in pretty much every single class if you just study your butt off, but ultimately, if you reserve the room for God to actually be able to reveal his grace to you, then you can really say, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Because if he's helped us before, he will continue to do so. And the second lesson that I learned was that spiritual companions are everything. It's kind of as Sister Lydia shared, but in this period of time, as I was not only interviewing and things, but also choosing where to go, I had a few decisions of where I wanted to go. And that's why it made it really difficult. It was over Thanksgiving break. And so I really appreciate all the people that I was able to talk to. And I remember just asking so many people to pray for me. And I think that's, if I had one advice, that's really what I'd give to everyone, which is to just go on, use your Facebook wisely, and just message everyone you know and tell them to pray for you. Because that's really the best thing that you can do. And everyone that you meet at church, you don't really have to explain everything to them because they know, we know each other's struggles, especially in San Diego. So I really thank God. I remember just one message can, and you when you're praying, you really know that other people are praying for you. And so as I was making this decision of whether where I wanted to go, I knew that God would guide my footsteps. So let's actually turn to one more verse in Proverbs. Got which chapter? Oh, it's the same chapter as, So it's Proverbs chapter 16, so let's read this together. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. I think... Yeah, so this is really just another point. I think Pastor Young says this a lot, where you just really have to be able to trust, like, trusting God with, putting your trust in God means that you're not just depending on your own will. Like, I want to go work in some kind of place and make some amount of money. But it's really about, you think about God's plan and what he can do. And I think as I was making my decision of where I wanted to go, even though I could have made more money in Northern California, I knew that I feel like I could do a lot more work for God down in San Diego. And I felt like, and that was really the guiding motivation of everything that I was planning to do. Because I've had, even though I, as I told you all yesterday, I had so many opportunities to serve God as I grew up. I felt like there was just so much more that I could help God with as I was in San Diego. And so I really encourage the brothers and sisters in San Diego to also live there forever. But, and to really committing your works to God, I think is something that I find the most difficult, although I tell everyone that, oh, you should continue trusting God and all those things. because it takes so much faith to say that, oh, you, God, maybe you've helped me that time, but what about this time? And you kind of worry and you have all these anxieties, but it says here that your thoughts will be established. God will still give you a peace, a future and a hope, because he knows what plans he has for us. He knows exactly how to direct our paths. He knows us way better than we do. And so even though sometimes we feel like God isn't helping us, maybe we feel like our feet are slipping and we feel like we're failing, God is always there to help us pick ourselves up. And he will always be willing to direct our paths if we're willing to trust in him. And yeah, that's really what I wanted to share with you all about the lessons that I've learned over this job searching experience. And I really hope that if you can take anything out of this testimony, that you can really remember that when you are also going through anything, when you're making a really tough decision in your life, to commit your works to God, because he's faithful and he will remember to he's faithful and he will always direct your paths in the way that will help you the best. And yeah, so with that, may all the glory and praise be unto his holy name. Hallelujah, amen.
President Senka, we just heard two very wonderful testimonies. Things from Sister Lydia's testimony, she explained so clear, so details. We know how important we have to always have, watch our heart, right? So always watch, be watchful. Don't lose the patience. So with a little bit patience, we save a lot of trouble. Right? Don't have to run into all these lessons. But all things work all together for good. So as long as we love God, then no matter what happened, we will be edified, and God will deliver us through those difficulties. From John's testimony, you can see how trust God is so important and have to really have faith in him, because God never changes. He did it before. He will continue to guide our way. So we always can put all the trust in him, commit our work, our future, everything in God's hand. He will deliver us through. May all the glory and thanksgiving given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this concludes our testimony.